Okay, we're going to continue our series in Tefillah tonight. The topic for tonight is going to be probably the hardest element of Tefillah, because a lot of the halachas of Tefillah are really fairly easy in terms of we know that we can do them. Like when you talk about Zmanei Tefillah, for instance, so it's somewhat of a challenge for some people to wake up early sometimes, but you know that you can do it, that if you show up on time, you start davening at a certain time, you'll get it within the Zman, or you'll be able to do it. We know that it's something that we're capable of doing, at least. When it comes to Kavana B'Tfila, sometimes we have the best intentions. You know, we really want to have Kavana, and we know that we're going to, and we get ourselves psyched up to have Kavana and Tfila, and we go and we start to daven, and we think that we're going to have Kavana. And it lasts three words, and then, you know, you find yourself, how did I get here? You know, you find yourself somewhere in the middle of something else, you know, where your mind has wandered, and you don't even realize how it happened. So Kavana is one of the more difficult elements of Tfila, and in fact, the very first Maror Makom discusses this difficulty. The very first Maror Makom, I didn't actually put on the sheet. There's Gemara Maseches Erevin that tells us in Daf Samechei, which is quoted by Rav Vadi Yosef in source number one. The Gemara says that one of the Amoraim had a comment that Yecholni Liftar's Kola Olam Midin, that he was able to patter the entire world from any sort of punishment with a very simple excuse. Meaning, how do you patter from punishment? As long as there's a good defense. So one of the Amoraim, I forget who it was, in Erevin Samechei, comes up and says, there's a very simple way. The Pasuk tells us that we're all like Shikorim, that we're all a bunch of drunks. But what do you mean we're all a bunch of drunks? We don't all drink alcohol? No, but the Pasuk says, because of all the tsaras that Klal Yisrael has, because of all the difficulties that we've had over the generations throughout history, so we can't really think straight, we can't really be focused. It's very, very difficult for us to really remain focused on Avodas Hashem. And that's our defense. When the Ribbono Shel Olam comes, Achar Me'ev Esrim Shana, and he tells us, why did you do this, that, and the other thing, we're going to be able to say, we're a bunch of shikorim. So it's our best defense. So Gemara says, really? A shikor is pata from mitzvahs? It's not true. Gemara says, you drink a revius yayin, you're chayv in all mitzvahs. There are certain halachas that a revius yayin is going to stop you from. You're not allowed to be, hashosu revius yayin, a person is not allowed to be mora halacha, right? You're not allowed to paskin. You're not allowed to be milsei kapav. If he's a kohen, he's not allowed to do nesias kapayin. But there aren't that many halachos that having a little bit to drink is going to exempt you from. If a person drinks a little bit, he's still got to put on tefillin, he's still got to wear tzitzis, he's still got to do all the other mitzvos. So the Gemara says, no, what he meant to say is that he's going to patras midin tefillah. All the other things, you're right. The other things were civil and michaivin. But tefillah we'd be pater from. And the Gemara says, and even from tefillah, even from those other mitzvos, if you reach shechruso shalot, what's called completely drunk, whatever terminology you want to use to describe someone who's completely drunk out of their minds. So once you've reached Shechruso Shalot, then you're part of all other mitzvahs. And the Gemara works with the assumption that our tsaros and the difficulties that Klal Yisrael has faced over the generations has put us all in a matzav where we're shikr, but we're not Shechruso Shalot. We're all somewhat drunk, but we're not as drunk as Lot was. And therefore, we're chayiv in all mitzvahs, but we're part of from tefillah. So Rav Avadi Yosef starts at the very beginning over here in source number one. He says, "Ani tara machal l'sayim ani piski d'dina binyan hakavana b'tfila." This is at the end of a long tshuva where Rav Avadi discusses various halachos relating to tefillah, and he says, "Before I sign off, there's one more thing I need to discuss." He uses it as a closing statement. We're going to use it as the opening statement. He says, "Shama shamati, I've heard shetalmud chacham echad hir shali atzma lifsok parabim." Rav Avadi says, I've heard that there's a certain Talmud Chacham going around, paskening publicly, that even as a din l'chadchila, there's no sense in any of us trying to have kavana in our davening anymore, and we're absolutely patur from having kavana. And kavana is reserved for tzaddikim and chasidim, and it's not for the hamonam, it's not for the rest of us. V'samach smicha b'kol kocha, Rav Avadi always uses very nice terminology from Gemaras that are, you know, obviously are somewhat out of context. Right? He talks about smicha b'kol kocha, which is the din that when we do smicha and when you bring in a karban and you do smicha on the animal, so it requires smicha b'kol kocha, as opposed to when nashim somchos rishus, the Gemara says that if a woman does smicha, it's only an imitation smicha. She doesn't really do the full smicha b'chol kocha. So he says, he's using it out of context, he's using this phrase, and this posek was somich smicha b'chol kocha, he was completely reliant on the idea that it says in the Gemara Nerevin, yachol ni liftar skalala midin tefila, shnerma v'shikar zlo miyayin, because in he's totally reliant on that Gemara that says that we're all a bunch of drunks, and therefore we're not chayiv in tefillah. Udvarav mehevel yematu. That's a pretty strong comment. Dvarav mehevel yematu means there's nonsense, and then beneath that, beneath nonsense, there's what this guy is saying. I mean, it would be too much of a compliment to call it nonsense. Ki kol gudolei aposkim, and if anyone could figure out the Rashi Tevis, I'd be very grateful. I have no idea. Ki kol gudolei aposkim kasu din kavana af bizman hazeh. He says, just look through the poskim. Look through a Mishnah Brura, look through Shulchan Aruch, look through Kaf HaChaim, look through an Aruch HaShulchan. They all discuss dinim of kavana betfila. And we're going to discuss all those dinim, the normal dinim of kavana betfila. So someone's going to come up, some rabbi in the 21st century or 20th century, whenever he wrote this, is going to come and say, nah, but there's a Gemara that they all missed. Mishnah Brura didn't know the Gemara name. They all know the Gemara. They were aware of that Gemara. Gam liachar maimer chazal anal. Look through all the Rishonim that came after that Gemara. V'chein kasubar zruah gadol. Shekal adam tzarech lidchok atzma l'chavein. Meaning there are two ways to confront a problem. We all know that we have this problem. We know we have a problem with kavana and tefillah. Any normal human being has the problem. As long as you're spiritually sensitive and you're aware, you're at least at the madrego where we're aware that we have a problem, we all know that it's a problem. So there are two reactions. One is to shy away or close our eyes and say, it must not be a problem. If everyone's suffering from the same thing, it must not be a problem. Everything's relative, and if we're all suffering from it, then it must be that it's okay. The other way is to try to confront it and try to fight it. So he said, if you look through the poskim, the derech is always to fight it. Lidchok atzma l'chavim. We have to push ourselves to be mechavim. V'me'ino osakein aveira hi biyadel. And if we don't do that, it's a terrible aveira. Umutav lo shelo espalel. Better not to daven. Which I don't know if he means that halachically. That it's better not to daven. We're going to have to discuss that much later in the shir. If you know in advance that you're not going to be able to have kavana bitfila, do we say that it's better not to daven at all? Or better to daven without kavana. Something to keep in the back of your minds. We're going to have to revisit after we analyze some of the sources on the requirement of having kavana. And he says, if you just read through the poskim, a lot of what the poskim focus on when they talk about kavana is giving tricks. There are ways of figuring out how to come up with a way that you're going to be able to have kavana. A lot of the posts can come up with different ideas and different tricks. And he gives examples. Rav Avadia Yosef is a tremendous baki, obviously, the biggest baki alive, probably not just alive today, in the history of the world, because there's so much more literature that keeps on getting published. So he's memorized more than anyone else who's ever had a photographic memory. It's just remarkable. There are more svarim probably published in the last 100 years than all the years prior to that. And so his level of bekiyus is really astounding. My father-in-law was once on a plane a few months ago, maybe even longer, and he was in first class, and he was sitting next to a guy with a black suit and a hat, and the guy didn't look very remarkable at all. And people kept on passing by the guy and kissing his hand. So my father-in-law figured there must be something to this guy. So he started a conversation with him, and he started talking about Zmanim, because my father-in-law is obsessed with Zmanim, so he started talking about the topic of Zmanim. And the guy said, no, my father doesn't paskin that way. So my father-in-law said, who's your father? He said, Rav Avadia Yosef, who's my father. So he was sitting next to Rav David Yosef on the plane, and one of the things, my father-in-law had some unique shita that he was very interested in, and he said, you know, in your father's tshuva, he found four Rishonim that say this shita. And Rav David Yosef told my father-in-law, if my father only found four Rishonim that say it, it doesn't exist. Meaning, if he could come up with 25 Rishonim, he'll shake it out in a second. 25 Rishonim that say anything. If he only found four Rishonim, it's kilu, it's so batel. It can't be that it was ever a mainstream shita by any stretch. So Rav David Yosef starts going through different etzos that he found in different svarim to be mechavin betfila. We don't have to go through all of them inside, but some of them I found somewhat interesting. One etza, he says, is counterintuitive. He says, daven fast. If you say everything fast, then you won't have time to get distracted. What? Oh yeah, that's the Reb Chaim, they said, the Gemara says, I think, that you're supposed to daven like you're counting money, right? Which means carefully, normally. And I think Rav Shapta writes in Nefesh HaRav, Rav Soloveitchik used to daven pretty fast. And Reb Chaim, that was a tradition in his family, they used to daven pretty fast. And they asked Reb Soloveitchik, doesn't the Gemara say you're supposed to daven like you're counting money? He says, I count money fast also. but the idea is that you're supposed to daven carefully. But he says, he doesn't just say fast, he says, make sure when you have each bracha, say it all b'neshima achas. all just in one breath, you say the whole bracha, and that way you won't have time to get sidetracked. Because normally it's when you're taking a breath where your mind wanders. I don't know if that's true. Maybe for someone who naturally speaks Hebrew, the mind wanders when they take a breath. But for us, we have a hard. We can read the words and still not even understand what they're saying unless we're focused. Maybe when it's your first language, it's a little easier to stay focused as you're reading. But that's one of the pieces of advice. He quotes the advice that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, of the Ramah quotes, of looking inside of a sitter, which we'll discuss later on. Then he suggests a piece of advice from Rav Chaim Volozhin that if you look a little further down in the paragraph, Shenasan Eitzel L'Kaladim, first one line, Shenasan Eitzel L'Kaladim K'dei Sheyuchel L'Chavin Yafa B'Tfilaso Sheyitzayer B'Daito Tzuras Ha'Osios Shemotzi Mipiv. You should envision in your mind what the letters look like. Whatever you're saying, envision those letters. And through that, you'll know for sure that your kavanah is good. Not sure why that works or if that works. And when we have a sitter, we don't have to envision. We see it right in front of us what the letters work, and still doesn't always work. But the point is, he's not trying to really give you advice over here. What Ravad is trying to do is trying to show you that the poskim were giving you advice, not because they thought it was a waste of time. They were giving you advice because they thought it was important, because we do paskin that you need to daven. Aye, what about the Gemara in Erevin? The Gemara in Erevin says, after all, that we kapatras kol olam. We kapatras kol olam from the din of having to daven with kavana just by this one idea that we're all like a bunch of drunks. So he says in the very next line, v'amechapes b'achronim yimtza eitzos rabbis keina v'chehena u'mashe nishan al divri chazal be'erevin anal. That which this guy relies on the Gemara in Erevin, I have no idea who the guy is, by the way. I'm sure it's known in Eretz Yisrael who this guy was that was going around. I have no idea who it is. But he says, that which this guy relies on the Gemara in Erevin, Nisha al Kone Ratzutz. He's relying on like a reed that's bending over, meaning something that you wouldn't want to use as a cane, meaning it's not a very reliable source to rely on. Why not? It's a Gemara. So he says, no, look at how the Gemara says it. Kienza el derech limud zchus bialma. The Gemara says that someone came along and says, Yacholni liftars kala olam min adin. I can pater people from the din that they're going to face inevitably for not having kavana b'tfila. The Gemara never said, person's pater from having kavana b'tfila. The Gemara is trying to have a limut chus. Whenever Klal Yisrael does something that's really terrible, so it's a mitzvah to try to be melamed chus. There's a big difference between being melamed chus and trying to pask in that way. So it's hard to, you have to think of examples where you have sometimes where, trying to think of a good example, there's a famous tshuva of Shlomo Kluger has about shalashudis. I think I've discussed in the past about why women don't need shalashudis. Right? So we've mentioned there's a machlokas Rabbeinu Tam in the Ran as to why women are chayiv in shalashudis. All the Rishonim agree that they're chayiv. But there's machlokas Rabbeinu Tam in the Ran, are they chayiv because of af hein hayu ba'osa anes? And they were included in the nes of the month, so they're chayiv in shalashudis? Or are they chayiv? No, because, not because of af hein hayu ba'osa anes, but because they're chayiv in all mitzvot seif Shabbos, like Kiddush, and every mitzvah seif Shabbos, and that would include shalashudis. So it says Rav Shlomo Kluger, why do women not eat shalashudis? It must be because the Rabbeinu Tam says his reason, he must not agree with the Ran's reason. The Ran says his reason, he must not agree with Rabbeinu Tam's reason. So there's a Rishon that says both reasons are wrong. Meaning, there's no one that says women are pater from shalashudis, but you'll find a Rishon that says that any given reason you can come up with why they're chayiv in shalashudis is wrong. So you read that tshuva of Shlomo Kluger, you think of Shlomo Kluger as paskins that women don't have to eat shalashudis? Of course not. It's a limud zchus. You know, sometimes things are said, bederek limud zchus, that aren't meant as serious psak halacha. So Ravadia says, if you know how to read a Gemara, this Gemara is not paskining. And the Shulchan Aruch knew how to read the Gemara, and the Rishonim knew how to read the Gemara. And that's why they didn't paskin like this Gemara. It was a limud zchus, and they understood it as such. They understood that it was nothing more than a limud zchus. And therefore, he says, absolutely, a person is chayiv to have kavan in their tefillah. And he goes on for the rest of the paragraph to discuss how terrible tefillah without kavana is, the ruach tuma that goes along with it, v'yavo gama satan b'tocham, the satan's going to come and attack you, oy lo v'oy l'nafsho, he uses very strong lashonos, woe unto such a person, woe unto his nefesh, woe unto his neshama, v'kama ra gorim li'atzmo, how much terrible evil he's bringing upon himself, v'chein v'chein, he goes and he brings more examples of just terrible things that happen to a person who doesn't have kavana. So the first order of business is out of the way, right? We're going to discuss kavana b'tfila. First thing, do we still have to have kavana? The answer is a resounding yes. We still have to have kavana. Gemara and Erevin aside, There are tons of Gemaras and Brachos that clearly discuss the requirements for Kavana, and we're going to assume that still applies to us. Let's go to the basic source. One Aleph. Says the Mishnah Maseches Brachos. Ein ondin l'spalel el mitoch kovid rosh. So with all these tricks that the Akronim have to be able to have Kavana, to be able to inspire oneself to Kavana, Chazal had a whole different idea of how one should inspire themselves to Kavana. And it's nothing to do with tricks during the davening, it has a lot more to do with the setting prior to the davening, with how to make sure that you arrange the setting in such a way that it be appropriate for tefillah. And that's half the battle. With a lot of averos, it's half the battle, with a lot of mitzvos and averos, that doing the mitzvah or avoiding the avera is not so much b'shas maisa, it's the preparatory stages, what kind of situation you put yourself in advance. L'mashal, if someone has a problem with talking during davening, that they talk a lot, right? So if you sit right near people who you know are prone, you're prone to talk to, so b'shas maisa, your bechira is taken away already. But if you know that you could put yourself in a spot where you're not near anyone who's also prone to talking, or not near anyone who you're particularly friendly with, or you're going to have a certain look about you, you dress in a certain way for davening, that someone's going to see you and say, "Ma, that guy probably doesn't talk, so I better not go over and talk to him." If you're wandering around and you hang out in the Ezra's Nashim a little bit, and you go, so everyone knows, okay, that's the guy I could talk to. That's someone I can go over to. But if you have a certain look, so it's all about the situation in advance more than the actual davening itself, more than the actual moment in time itself. And Chazal understood that. And Chazal spent a lot of time discussing what we do before tefillah. You want to have kavanah b'tefillah, let's not just focus on tefillah, we have to start at the beginning. We have to start at what happens before tefillah. So says the Mishnah, Ein omdin l'spalel mitoch kovid rosh. A person has to approach tefillah with a sense of seriousness. How do you do that? Chasidim arishonim ayushoin sha'a achas m'spalelin. The early chasidim used to wait an hour before davening. I shouldn't have translated the word sha'a. Sha'a doesn't always mean an hour. For instance, the Gemara tells us, after an interesting agarita in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the yesh kona olamo b'sha'a achas, right? A well-known phrase. That a person can acquire olam haba b'sha'a achas, about a certain guy who went and was mezana with every single prostitute in the world, and ultimately he did tshuva in a moment of time when he said, I want the mountains to be mevakesh rachamim on me, and then I want the heavens to be mevakesh rachamim on me, and he realized, no, davar tolo yelabi, that it's all up to me to be mevakesh rachamim on myself, and he put his head between his knees and he just cried out, and yatsa nishmaso, and the baskal comes out and says, yesh kona olam b'sha'a achas. Look how he was kona olam haba in just a single sha'a. Doesn't mean he sat there crying for an hour. Sha'a probably means a moment. It doesn't always mean an hour. So over here, it doesn't seem that it's just a moment, because if it were just a moment, what's the big deal? You don't need Chasidim Arishonim to spend a minute in shul before davening. So Chasidim Arishonim most understand that it's Sha'a in the more literal sense, that Sha'a means an hour. That's why I translated it that way. So they waited an hour before davening, k'dei she'chavnu libam la'aviyam shevashamayim, so they could have proper kavana. And the Mishnah says, even if there are circumstances which would entice one to start speaking in the middle of the davening, you should still not speak. We're not going to get into the details of those circumstances. That's a different topic for a different shiur, about what kinds of circumstances. We've discussed once in the past about davening on an airplane. That's one of those circumstances where you would stop in the middle and go to your seat if the pilot turns on the fasten seatbelt sign and the stewardesses are trying to get up. Right, so that would be a situation where you would stop in the middle. There are different situations where you do, where you don't, but this is, kid starts crying and you're not allowed to hold the kid anyway when you're davening because the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to hold actually gives the example of holding a child while you're davening Shemona Esrei. That you shouldn't hold anything really while you're davening Shemona Esrei. We're makel to hold the sitter because that aids in the kavanah. We're makel to hold the luv v'nesro because that's part of the tefillah. But anything that's external to the tefillah, say you're learning a daf gemara, so a lot of times people like to learn during davening. Whether that's appropriate or not is a topic for, I'd rather not discuss, but if you're, some people like to hold the gemara during davening, it's not such a good idea. Shulchan Aruch says that, based on the gemara, that you're not allowed to hold things during davening, that's also going to ruin a person's kavanah. And the example given is to hold the child. So what do you do if a child's crying and he's disrupting the tefillah? So usually the only way to calm down is to hold him. So probably the best thing to do is pick them up and walk out. Even if you're middle Shmoneh Esrei, there's no reason that, meaning if you're disturbing other people's Shmoneh Esrei, so that you're allowed to be mafsik mistama to save everyone else's tefillah. And you can't continue anyway if you're holding the child. Okay, anyway, I'm getting off topic over here. So anyway, the Mishnah says the Chassidim HaRishonim would wait an hour, and that way they would develop the sense of Kovid Rosh, the sense of seriousness. Says the Gemara, Kovid Rosh, that sounds very harsh. Kovid Rosh sounds more than just, you know, not to make a joke out of it. It sounds like you have to really be very intense. Where do we ever find such a thing? Where's the biblical source for something like that? So Minan Emili, the Gemara says, where do we know this from? Damar Ablazer, Damar Kra, Vihi Maras Nefesh. Much of Hilchos Tefillah is derived from a single tefillah that takes place in Navi. And that's the tefillah of Chana. The tefillah of Chana is held up as the ultimate tefillah. It's the circumstances were just right in terms of a feeling of desperation, a feeling of sincere crying out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, of not caring what other people think, and it's just her and God. So it's held up as the example of tefillah, and specifically because the Navi gives a lot of details about the tefillah. So the Navi seems to, and the Navi, we know the story, where Eli starts to criticize her, and she says, no, you got it wrong, and it turns out that he was wrong. The Gemara making a big deal out of it is trying to show, the Navi rather, making a big deal out of it is trying to show you that she got tefillah right. She knew what tefillah was. We've said many times in the past, the idea being that what happens right before she's mispallel, right before she goes to Davin, her husband tells her, you know, I don't know why you're so upset that Penina makes fun of you and everything, and that she has all these children and you don't. The love I give to you is as great as having 10 children. It's better than 10 children. So don't worry, you don't have children, but we have a very special relationship that I could never have with anybody else, and that alone should be a source of nechama. And then she davens. Why is that the ultimate in tefillah? Because that's the ultimate hakara. She comes to the recognition. Up until that point, she figures, my husband's a tzaddik, he feels bad for me, he's going to daven for me, I'm going to daven for myself, but you know, I could rely on his tefillos also. What happens? The husband says to her, sorry, you know, look, it's not, so you don't have children. So you're not going to have children. We still have each other. And she realizes, he's not davening for me to have children anymore. He doesn't think it's going to happen. So who do I have to turn to now? Who can I rely on now? There's only one place to turn. And she realizes that she can only rely on the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's a tefillah. And that's why Chazal, and the Gemara specifically, the Gemara in Brachos, derives many Hilchos tefillah from Chana. Because she knew what tefillah was, and she experienced a tefillah on its highest level. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try this idea. Kovid Rosh, where does that come from? Maybe it comes from Chana. Pasuk says, Vihi Maras Nefesh. She was bitter. That's what Kovid Rosh means, no? A sense of bitterness, a sense of being perturbed about something, and being bothered to have to cry out. Says Gemara, oh, Mimai, Dilma Chana Shaini. Davos Marira Libetuva. Maybe she's different. She obviously was going through a very difficult time in her life. She didn't have any children. It was very difficult for her. But that's not a necessity. That's just what her situation happened to be. That's not a requirement. So says Gemara, no, Elam Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chinin Mehacha. Va'ani Barov Chastacha Ovo Vesecha Eshtacha Valhechal Kachacha B'Yirasecha. David HaMelech describes, how do I approach the Ribbono Shel Olam? With Yira. Ah, maybe that's the din of Kovid Rosh. Says more, no, Dilma David Shiny, David Mitzar Nafshi Brach Mituva. Maybe David took things especially hard, but it's not necessarily that that every person when they daven has to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam that way. That David was describing his personal experience in tefillah. He wasn't describing how a person approaches God. He was describing how he approached God. We need to find a pasuk that's much more global, that speaks to a wider audience. It's not about a person in history. That's about Klal Yisrael. So Gemara finally says, okay, we got it. What's the pasuk? Says the Gemara, Elam Rabbi Shimon Levi Mehacha, Hishtach V'la Hashem Ba'adash Kodesh, Al Tikri B'hadras Kodesh, Ela B'charodas. It's not B'hadras Kodesh, but B'charodas Kodesh, with charoda, with a certain sense of trepidation. So says Gemara, no, maybe it's Hadrash. So the Gemara says, no, because it's Elam Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, I'm sorry. The Gemara says, you're right. Maybe that just means Hadrash, and it's actually referring to Hadar. What does Hadar mean? They should be beautiful. And the Gemara says, after all, wasn't one of the Amorayim Makvid Rav Yehuda Mitzayin Nafshei V'Hadar Matzli? He would make sure he looked nice before he davened. He would get dressed up for the occasion before he davened. So Gemara says, okay, so fine, it's not that pasuk, but it's Ivdu es Hashem b'yira v'gilu b'ra'ada. And we've discussed in the past couple of weeks, what does avoda mean? The Rambam understands that when the Chazal say avoda zu tefila, so when there's a mitzvah in the Torah of avodas Hashem, that's a mitzvah of tefila. So when the Navi tells us, when the Nach tells us, Ivdu es Hashem b'yira, that you should be over Hashem b'yira, what does it mean? Davin with yira. Davin with ra'ada. That we daven with a sense of trepidation. Good, very clear. Mishnah, Gemara, person should daven with a sense of fear, a sense of awe. We shouldn't be too comfortable when we approach the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's step number one for Kavana in Tefillah. Because most of the time, when we, you know, if we were to look around in a typical American shul, let's say, and try to diagnose the Kavana problem that people are having, so look at what percentage of the people before davening feel a sense of Ema, a sense of Yira, a sense of Ra'ada, a sense of fear, a sense of trepidation. You don't get that sense very much. You get the sense that people, you know, they're doing whatever they're doing with their lives and discussing whatever feels important that day, and then they go right into tefillah. It's just something that you do because you have to do, but it's not something that people feel like they're approaching with trepidation. So step number one to diagnose the Kavana problem, Gemara says, Mishnah says, you have to approach it with a sense of trepidation. It's all preparation. If you prepare yourself to feel a sense of awe, a sense of fear, that's step number one. This isn't a Musar Shir, this is a Halacha Shir. In fact, next source number two is Shulchan Aruch. Says Shulchan Aruch, Lo yamud lehispalel ela be'ema ve'hachna'a. If you want to daven, you have to do it with a sense of ema and hachna'a. Now he adds in something else that the Gemara didn't say. The Gemara said fear. Shulchan Aruch added in another word, hachna'a. Right? Hachna'a means with a sense of humility. We approach the Ribbono Shel Olam and we don't go and say, you know, you owe me this, or we go to the Ribbono Shel Olam and we're totally humbled in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why we're going to get to later in this year when the Shulchan Aruch describes, based on the Gemara, how a person is supposed to stand during davening. It's with Rosh HaKafuf, with the head bowed, because that's how you stand when you're terrified and when you're humbled in front of someone who's much greater than you, with the head bowed, and not with a sense of gaiva and a sense of arrogance. So, Eima and Hachna. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, Lo mitoch schok v'kalas rosh, udvarim b'telem, v'lo mitoch kas. And what should your mood not be right before davening? And again, the whole point of Kavana and Davening, the whole way to achieve Kavana and Davening is by making sure you prepare properly. So how do we make sure, what do we not do right before Davening? No schok, kalas rosh, joking around, lightheadedness, dvarim b'telem, talking about nonsense, ka'as, anger. When a person is angry, they can't think straight, they mamash become a meshugana when you're angry. A person who's angry, you can't possibly speak in a rational way with, and there's no way they can have a clear mind when a person is angry. So that's not a way to daven. It's interesting, there is a lot in between, right? There's a lot in between. On the one hand, Ema, Yira, whatever, you know, and on the other hand, Kalas Rosh, Kas, you know, those are, what about just like normal? You know, I'm going through my day normally. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. What the Shulchan Aruch is trying to tell you is, really it should be with Ema and Hachna and all of those good things. If you're not going to do that, at least, at the very, very least, the tefillah should not come with the sense of Kalas Rosh and whatever. Remember when I was in camp as a teenager, the division head used to be that they would always have Mariv right after the night activity. So the night activity was a Kalas Rosh fest, whatever it was. It was always just like a tremendous sense of Kalas Rosh. And I remember very clearly, it was the division head at the time, later became my Rebbe and is now my boss, said, okay, everyone just stop for 5 minutes before we daven. We have to sit there and just stop. We're about to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam. And, you know, at the time, you know, we made a joke of it a little bit afterwards, but it really helped, because to approach tefillah straight from the Kalas Rosh, we didn't stand a chance. Just to at least stop for a few minutes, just to take some time. It was our version of the Chassidim HaRishonim's Shah Achas. Our Shah Achas was, 5 minutes that felt like Shah Achas, but it was our version of the Shah Achas. That was the idea, to just reorient ourselves in order to be able to focus on the tefillah. Okay, so that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. What about this idea of waiting? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. Shulchan Aruch says, if you look in source number four, and it's a little frightening, because Shulchan Aruch is, what we're supposed to do. It's a halacha book. Yisha Shah Achas Kodem Sheyakum L'spalel. You should wait for an hour before you get up get up to daven doesn't mean, you know, hit the snooze button for an hour before. It means before you stand up to actually start Shmoneh Esrei, right? Kedei sheichavim liba l'makom, so that you're able to have proper kavana. V'sha'a achas achra tvila, shalote nirasalav kemasoi shemar latzeis mena. And you should also wait a sha'a achas after tvila, so it shouldn't look like you're running out of davening. So what do you say? I mean, you couldn't possibly mean that, right? Three times a day we're supposed to do that. A sha'achas before, then daven, and a sha'achas afterwards, three times a day. And are we supposed to eat and work? And the Gemara Hamas asked that question, right? That it would, you'd kill your whole day with preparing to daven and finishing up the daven. So how do you touch up that Shulchan Aruch? Because the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin it. So it happens to be, if you look at the Rambam, I think I got the right Rambam here. Look at the Rambam in source number 8, and you'll see something very different. Generally, the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam exactly. He usually, in fact, just quotes the exact Lashon of the Rambam. When he doesn't, it's because there's something going on. There's something that he didn't like in the Rambam. So if you look at source number 8, it says number 8 on the bottom of the page, but the source starts on the top of the next page. Kate said, Hiya Kavana. What is Kavana? She yifnes libo mikola machshavos. A person should get all of the thoughts out of his mind. V'yira atzmo kilu ha'omid lefnei ha'shechina, and see himself as if he's standing in front of the Shechina. L'fichach tzarech leishev ma'at kodem atfila. In case you couldn't tell by my tone, what's the key word over there? You're supposed to wait ma'at before the tefillah. A little bit before the tefillah. What word does he not say in that context? Sha'achas. He says, wait a little bit before the tefillah. Kedei l'chavin es libo. So you could have proper kavana. V'achar kach yispalu benachas u'betachnunim. Then you could daven nicely. V'lo yaseh tefillas k'mishayah nosei masoi u'mashlich v'holich lo. You shouldn't view tefillah as something that like is a burden on you that you have to do and just get it done and get it out of the way. That's not what tefillah is. L'fichach tzarech leishev ma'at achar tefillah v'achar kach yiftar. And you should also wait a little bit after tefillah before you go home. Chasidim harishonim hayushoin sha'a achas kodem tefillah v'sha'a achas li'achar tefillah. Very different than the Shulchan Aruch, no? The Rambam is very clear. There are two camps of people. There's the Chassidim Rishonim and there's us. Chassidim Rishonim did that whole Sha'a thing. We do Ma'at. We do a little bit. We spend a couple of minutes, focus, whatever Ma'at is, and a couple of minutes afterwards, so it doesn't look like we're just running out, and that's our way of showing respect for the Tefillah. The Chassidim Rishonim did the Sha'a Achas thing. Problem is, Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that, right? Shulchan Aruch says that we're supposed to wait Sha'a. So how would you resolve the problem? So one way to resolve the problem is just say, Shulchan Aruch was speaking in terms that we speak. When we say Sha'a, it's the Yesh Kona Olama B'Sha'a Achas Sha'a. He wasn't talking about the hour Sha'a. He was talking about, you know, wait a minute. And he knows that in our language, Sha'a means that you, it doesn't mean a whole hour. It means that you wait a little bit. The Prima Gadim suggests differently. If you look in source number 6, Prima Gadim says, "Umi anu mispalim v'korim psukah dezimra mikodem, shir psukah dezimra chatzi sha'a." Interesting. He says, we happen to, what do? Do we do anything before we daven? So we think, no, we don't. We just run to Shulchan Aruch and daven. Not true. We also do something before we daven. We do psukah dezimra, we do Birkas Kriya Shema, we do Kriya Shema itself. So we also do something before we daven. So says the Prima Gadim, yes, Shulchan Aruch was serious. It's a Sha'a Achas before we daven. You know how we're Mekayim that Sha'a Achas before we daven? I say Pesukah Dezimra, which he says takes a half hour. Maybe on Shabbos, I don't know. Maybe on Shabbos. But he says it takes a half hour. And then Birchus Kriya Shema. And Shoa Ma'at Kodem Sheyaskel Pesukah Dezimra. And even with Pesukah Dezimra, before we start Pesukah Dezimra, we come to Shul 5 minutes early. So we have a little bit of time there. Savi Karov L'Sha'a Kamal Chasidim. We're close to a Sha'a by the time it's all said and done. But does that really solve the problem, the Shulchan Aruch? So, you know, it solves the Sha'a Achas Kodem HaTefillah. Sha'a Achas Le'achar HaTefillah is not nearly as much after Shmoneh Esrei. You know, so it may not solve that problem of the Sha'a Achas Le'achar HaTefillah. Unclear if he's really saying that that's pshat in what the Shulchan Aruch meant, or he's just saying, you know, at least we're, you know, even if we say like the Rambam, that we do a little bit, Chassidim HaRishonim did a Sha'a, we come close to fulfilling at least half of what the Chassidim HaRishonim used to do. And this is really a debate in the Achronim. When we say that they would wait a Sha'a before they started to daven, did that mean before Shmoneh Esrei, which is clearly the way the Prima Gadim understood it, was it mean? No, they waited a Shah before they started to say anything. They wouldn't daven at all until they waited a Shah first, which is how the Aruch HaShulchan understands it, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not going to read all the sources inside again, because there's a lot to cover, but if I'm not mistaken, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says, that the Shah is an hour before starting anything, even before Pesukei Dezimra. And he says that a Shah doesn't mean a full hour, we just wait a little bit. Okay. He also mentions the Aruch HaShulchan, the second half of that Aruch HaShulchan, and this is worthwhile to mention. What about the Shah Achas Achara Tefillah? So he says that the key over there is, what's the point of the Shah Achas Achara Tefillah? I mean, I understand the Kodem HaTefillah part, right? I need to prepare to daven. It's hard to have Kavani. You need to get yourself into it. Well, what is the Pshat in the Achara Tefillah? Why do they wait a Shah after the Tefillah? So the Aruch HaShulchan says that the point is that you don't want to look like you're just running out. And that's what the Rambam alluded to also. You don't want to look like it's a masoya, a kavod alav, that it's this burden on you and you just need to get rid of it and you just need to get out of there as fast as possible. Not only that, the Aruch HaShulchan says, you also don't want to be a contributing factor to the Siluk HaShchina. The Ribon Shalom comes whenever there's a minion of 10 people, the Shechina's there. So you don't want to be the one, you know, sometimes when you have a guest at your house and, you know, it's really your Shabbos afternoon nap time, and like you're ready for the guest to leave, and you're, you know, you don't want to be impolite and say, so you don't want to be the one to say to the Shechina, sorry, it's time for you to check out. And when you leave early, you're saying it's time for the Shechina to leave. You don't want to be the one to do that. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. So he says, and even if you're not going to wait a Shah after the Tefillah, he says, you should never be, if there are exactly 10 people there, you should never be the first one to leave. Because that's the guy that's really causing the Siluk HaShchina. Now the obvious question is, somebody's going to be, so shh, don't tell anybody. No, but I don't know what the answer is. Whatever, there will be plenty of volunteers. We don't have to be the volunteers to be the guy that's the first one to leave when there are exactly 10 people there. Is that so clear? I'm not sure. If you have a minion of 10 people, I don't know. Not so sure. I don't know. So just when, I mean, is it totally in the act, right? The Gemara says that if you're learning, for instance, right, afilu echad, that's Yoshev Osek B'Torah, the Shechina comes. But maybe if you were davening, so the Shechina is there until the minion disbands. I don't know. Yeah, that's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands it, at least. Okay, so that's in terms of the waiting. Now, there's also an interesting discussion. I didn't get to put all the marmakamos on the page, but there's an interesting discussion. This sha'a, how should it be spent? Should it be spent sitting or standing? You know, by mincha, this sha'a is particularly challenging, especially since if you're 2 minutes late to mincha, you miss ashrei, so you really go right into tefillah, and that's really not right. Person should try to make sure that we have at least something, some time right before mincha to sit, and that's why we have Asher Yoshev Yisachar, where you sit down for a little bit before the davening, at least to catch your breath a little bit when it comes into mincha. And I say this as I just today ran into mincha and missed Asher, but you know we try our best and we should try to get there early to be able to go through that experience. The next thing that I want to just mention briefly, which I've already alluded to, is what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. I quoted it from Prima Gadim, the Eitzah to look in a sitter. That if a person looks in a sitter, that there will be a certain sense of kavana that's going to be able to, that a person is able to accomplish when they look in a sitter. If you look in source number 12, the vade l'misha yuchal tov l'espal mitoch ha-sidr shelo lahavliya nekuda achas. Certainly, if one is able to do so, better to look inside of a sitter, that way you won't swallow any single word. You'll be able to look at each word, pronounce each and every word. In the Sefer Ishe Yisrael, which is this phenomenal encyclopedia on Hilchos Tefillah, it's a big fat red sefer, beautiful, beautiful sefer on Hilchos Tefillah. So he quotes from several poskim that discuss the value of looking in a sitter from the Chafetz Chaim and from others, from the Gra, that all think that looking in the sitter is a very good idea. Problem is that there are also those who suggest that closing your eyes is a very good idea. Looking in the sitter, it doesn't normally help if you're closing your eyes. So you have to, what it really boils down to is you have to really do what works for you. Some people, probably, what works for most people is if you're doing the same thing for too long, switching it works. You know, a lot of times you get used to looking in the sitter, so then switching and closing your eyes will work. You get too used to closing your eyes, eventually. The key is, though, and this is the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, Mishabura says, you shouldn't look around at other things. If you're looking around at other things, that's an obvious problem in kavana b'tfila. It's part of the reason of being machnia rosho is not only a sense of anivus, is just to keep your face down so that you won't be looking on everything else that's going on around you. When you're looking at other things that are going on around you, it's obvious that you're going to become distracted when you daven. That's what the post can discuss. If you're allowed to daven in a moving vehicle, right? We discussed when we spoke about davening on an airplane or davening in a car, something like that. And all the poskim say in those tshuvas, when they talk about where you're in a situation where you have to daven on a bus or something like that, so particularly the Shul poskim, where people are on buses a lot more, they talk about these types of situations. They'll say, but if you're driving, it's a davar pashut, there's nothing to even talk about that you can't daven. Why is it such a davar pashut? I could say all the words while I'm driving, I know them pretty well. No, but the point is, you have to be looking at the road. So you're either not davening or you're not driving, right? One or the other, you're doing wrong. It can't be that you're davening and driving and looking at the road. It's impossible for a person to have the proper kavana when it comes to both of those things. Okay, that's just in terms of looking in the sitter. Now the idea, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, when it talks about a sense, the sense of fear that a person is supposed to have. So, for instance, look in source number 18. Va'al yechavi na'adam b'shemels v'yichudim. Mishnah Berurah says, don't have kavanas for various, very Kabbalistic, spiritual types of things. Rak yispal kipshuto. Just have a very simple, just touch the words. Know what you're saying. Know what it means. La'avin advarim b'kavanas alev. If you're able to understand with kavana, imlo shemisha shehuba b'sod Hashem. Unless you're a Kabbalist, in which case, you know this already, right? So if you're not a Kabbalist, and you know that, you just want to daven b'kavana, you don't need to have any deep kavanas. V'yodeh l'chavim b'beliba v'rusa d'chilu, etc., etc. Then he says, look in the underlying section, v'ayim b'pnei Yeshua, shekasa de'elu ha'kavanas ha'muvuarim kan b'shulchan aruch, i'efsha l'chavim b'shas ha'tfila, rakodem, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about the fear and everything else and all these other kavanos that a person has, that's before you daven. When you daven, your focus should not be on how afraid you are, your focus should not be on how humble you are, your focus has to just be on what the words mean, because we're likely unable to have kavana for many different things at the same time. So you just try to focus on the words. Now the way the Shulchan Aruch expresses it, although I can't find the exact lashon over here, Shulchan Aruch says that a person should think about things that are he has to have that sense of fear, but also have a sense of simcha and ahavas hamakom, is the way the Ramah says it, that you have to have a sense of simcha when you approach your tefillah also. So it seems like two contradictory terms. If you're sensing fear and simcha, generally don't go together, right? Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha v'gilu b'ra'ada. So what does it mean? Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha and then gilu b'ra'ada. Is it simcha or ra'ada? How do you have simcha and fear at the same time? So I'm reminded, one of my rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael said that Rav Mendel Blachman said that he remembers meeting Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he said that he remembers that when he saw Rav Moshe, his immediate reaction was that he was terrified. He was just terrified. He was standing in a room with 300 times Shas, 600 times Shulchan, whatever the numbers are, who knows. But he was standing in a room with that amount of knowledge, with that kind of brain, with that kind of Ish Kadosh V'Tahar, and he was just terrified. But the way he described it was the best terror I ever felt in my life. It was the most kishmaka terror you could ever feel. Because he felt like he was experiencing something special. So Lahavdil, when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we should feel that same sense. Rabbeinu Yonah has an interesting way of phrasing it. It's a very well-known Rabbeinu Yonah, Maseches Brachos, in source number 19. I guess with this we'll close. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, "Afal pi sheitzel basar v'dam hayira v'asimcha him davar v'afecho." Even though when it comes to human relationships, if you're afraid of somebody, you're normally not happy to see them. They're normally opposites. When you're afraid of somebody and you see that person, you tense up and you get worried. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not so. Adraba, kishadam is boning begadluso, when a person tries to think about the gadlus sabore, v'yarei mipadav, and he's afraid of him, yismach v'yagil be'osayira. You'll find joy and exuberance in that yira. Because it's that yira that propels you to kiyumei mitzvos. V'sas v'nelas b'kiyuma. And you'll enjoy the kiyuma mitzvos. She'odea kischaro ito, because you know how much reward you get for it. U'pulas alafana v'al simcha kazu timsa shamra pasuk echad. And that's why you have in the very same pasuk, Ivdu es Hashem beyira, ubepasuk acher. I'm sorry, the very next pasuk. Ivdu es Hashem be simcha. Ratzalomer tavdu es Hashem beyira, ubeosa yira tismuchu v'tagilu. That you have a sense of yira, but it's that yira that brings a person to simcha, and that's the way we approach tefillah. It's a yira, but it's also an opportunity. I mean, lahavdil alef alfei hevdalos. You go and you meet someone who's a very important person. We use the mashal a million times. You meet a king, a president. So you're fearful of it, but what an opportunity, what a chance. And it's exciting. It's exciting to have that chance. So when you meet the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's a sense of yira, but that at the same time, it should propel us to a sense of simcha, because look what we get to do. We get to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, so Bez Hashem, next week we'll get into the lumdus of the two types of kavana, the famous Reb Chaim, why all the Akronim don't like the Reb Chaim, and some lighter stuff on shuckling during the avenue.